College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, we will be joined by Illinois head coach Brad Underwood. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Once again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in the show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Audible. Go to audible.com/CH today and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. So now that we've got you set up for everything you need Audible-wise, again, I mentioned we're going to be joined by newly minted Illinois head coach Brad Underwood later in this show. And Illinois is a school in the Big Ten, and so is where we are going to start, and that is with Ohio State. And first off, I want to say I was in Sarasota this past weekend for the annual Dick Vitale Gala, raised over $3 million to go towards cancer research. Always an unbelievable event, one I enjoy attending on an annual basis. But I was getting ready for some festivities in Sarasota on Saturday night. Went for a run, you know, doing some work on my column, getting ready for this podcast, and the news came down that Ohio State guard Jaquan Lyle was arrested on Friday night, charged with three different accounts of misdemeanors. And then the Ohio State School Information Department, a spokesperson, put out on social media that Lyle wound up quitting the team on April 11th. So you have a lot of different thoughts right now in terms of Ohio State basketball, because really, when you look at this program a couple of years ago, in 2011, when Jared Sullinger was a freshman, Ohio State entering the NCAA tournament was the best team in college basketball. Now, they wound up losing to Kentucky and Brandon Knight in the Sweet 16, but I don't think anybody really debated going to that NCAA tournament that the Buckeyes were the team to beat. In 2012, they went to a Final Four, lost to Kansas in a close game in the national semifinals. And then in 2013, they lost to Wichita State in the Elite Eight. The 14th season was a round of 64 loss against Dayton. Then the 15th season was a round of 32 loss against Arizona. And ever since D'Angelo Russell left for the NBA after the 2015 season, Ohio State has not been the same type of program. Now, the people within the program and the people around Columbus will tell you that their guard play hasn't been as good, and obviously they've been in the market for a different type of a guard this spring. They've been involved with a lot of grad transfers. They recruited Mark Smith, Mr. Basketball in the state of Illinois, who wound up going to Illinois. But also there's a feeling that the players in that program are not vested in being Ohio State basketball players as much as the people that preceded them. But the facts are the facts right now going into next season. Now, the Ohio State administration came out at the end of the year and sent out a press release saying that Thad Matta would be back as head coach for the 2017-18 season. But this is what Matta, who for the first time in his coaching career last season won less than 20 games in a season, is going to have coming back. They lost three of their top four scorers from last year's team to win 17-15. Now, to be fair, Kata Bates-Diop, Ohio State's best defender and probably all-around player, missed the majority of last season with an injury. But right now, you have an Ohio State team that frankly looks like a team that's consisting of role players with the exception of Kata Bates-Diop in the Big Ten, in a year in which Ohio State is going to lose Jaquan Lyle, while he obviously probably was not worth his issues. Based on what his off-the-court incidents have shown, you're still losing a productive player. So Ohio State, which, you know, a couple of years ago was synonymous with the great college basketball programs in college basketball, is in a little bit of a standstill. It's a program right now that is in danger of missing the NCAA tournament for the third straight season. It's a program right now that has not had the recruiting pop this year it is needed. And I really don't know what's available for the Buckeyes on the spring market that's going to drastically change things. That has not been the case, though,
for Illinois and Brad Underwood. As I mentioned, Mr. Basketball in the state of Illinois, Mark Smith, committed a couple of weeks ago to Brad Underwood. And the Illini, the aforementioned head coach of the Illini, Brad Underwood, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. One of the bigger coaching hires during March's coaching carousel was Brad Underwood's jump from Oklahoma State to Illinois. And the aforementioned head coach joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Brad, how are the first 6 weeks at Illinois compared to the first 6 weeks a year ago at Oklahoma State?
Very similar. Very similar. It's been an unbelievable unbelievably positive reception, and the Illini fan base has been terrific, and it's a very very exciting culture to be a part of. Is Illinois basketball is special, and it's got a great feel about it, and I'm very, very excited. So they've been very similar. I think anytime you take over in a new position, there are problems. And in every program, but there's some little ones that are different problems. And you know, this year we lost a couple guys and that had signed, whereas last year they stayed. And last year we had to move some guys off the current roster, and this year we don't. So, you know, they're just different situations and different circumstances. But I couldn't be any happier. My goodness, what a great spot, and very, very excited.
Now, I know it was easy to take the Illinois job, but how hard was it to leave Oklahoma State after 1 year?
Difficult. Oklahoma State's a special place. It's a very, very good job, and there was not many, maybe other than this one, places that I would have left Oklahoma State for. Great people. I loved Gallagher Iba Arena and the history and the culture. I loved the fan base, and we were up 44% in attendance, and getting that back to where it should be. And you've got the one thing at Oklahoma State that I thought was very important to be successful, to challenge Kansas and in that league, and that was the tradition and the history. And yet, you know, University of Illinois has all of that, and is, I think the Associated Press came out, John, in around the Final Four, and I think it was the 11th ranked program in the history of college basketball. And so we have all of that. We have a great recruiting base, great facility that's just been redone. So I'm excited, because that basketball is very, very important in the state of Illinois. That goes down to the grassroots level in the middle schools, and that's a special feeling.
Well, I think what also, too, is unique is just how quickly all of this happened. I mean, you played a heck of a game against Michigan in the NCAA tournament, and then probably about 24 hours later, you're at a new program in another Power 5 conference. How would you describe when you finished your press conference after the Michigan game till Saturday afternoon when you were the head coach of Illinois?
You know, I think it was a little numbing, to be quite honest, from the sense that after the game, you're upset. You put an ending and you put a closure to a group of guys that won't ever get to do that again and put on that uniform, and you lose by a point, and you think what if, and about doing you know, if I'd done something else, and I'm not a great loser, so I was upset, and then you know, a few hours pass by, and you get a phone call, ask if you want to have a conversation, you know, I won't talk to anybody during the season, and then as you think about that and move forward, all of a sudden it's very real, and then there's a level of excitement, and it did literally happen in a very quick manner, and you know, by 3 o'clock that next day, I was saying goodbye to a team and headed to a new location, and it was very unexpected, and yet one that you know, I had tremendous excitement and yet tremendous sadness because I knew I was leaving a very, very good place. But really to one of the very, very few places that I would have ever left Oklahoma State for was here in Champaign, and being a part of this program was something that dates back many, many years with me.
Well, I'm sure there was some sadness about leaving Oklahoma State, but obviously every experience in coaching is one that you're going to hold with you. I'm curious, what did you learn about being a head coach in the 1 year at Oklahoma State that you didn't in 3 years previously at Stephen F. Austin?
Well, the basketball side of it's the same, John. I think when you coach, you coach. I think it's the standpoint of the X's and O's and all those things. The Big 12 was a tremendous conference. My goodness, every single night was just such a challenge, and great coaches on the other side of the court from you. But I think it was really how good the coaches were, how good the players were. I think that it gives me a new appreciation for really how good Bill Self has been doing what he's done in terms of winning 13 in a row, because that league was truly tremendous. But it was a great experience and very passionate fans and I love that and I always have tremendous memories and great appreciation for Mike Holder and the Oklahoma State people for giving me an opportunity to be there.
Illinois head coach Brad Underwood joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Brad, you just mentioned what you learned in the Big 12. From what you've studied, from what you've gathered, what do you anticipate being the biggest differences between coaching in the Big 12 and coaching in the Big 10?
Well, you know, I'm not having been through the Big Ten yet and really not having taken a whole bunch of time to study the coaches, I look at the coaches on paper and you think they're very equal. I'm excited. I think that we played two Big Ten games last year that we lost on the road by one at Maryland. I've known Turge. We grew up in Kansas together and know what a good coach he is. And they were a team that was very, very big and physical. And then we played Michigan and lost by a point to them as well. And yet it was a little different style of play. They were extremely well coached. So, you know, I'm two for two in the category of facing great coaches in the Big Ten. And then, obviously Michigan State has been historic with Tom's run. And you got a little changeover in Indiana, but they're a perennial top team. And Thad at Ohio State being two Final Fours. So I think there's tremendous coaching top to bottom. And I think you've got Matt over at Purdue is coming off a conference championship and a high seed. So I think top to bottom, you're going to look at a lot of similarities between this and the Big 12. It's been a little more balanced in the fact that we haven't had one team win 13 straight like Bill's done at Kansas.
Well, you know, you mentioned some great coaches there, and you worked for two great coaches, an assistant in Frank Martin and Bob Huggins. What elements from those two guys can Illinois fans expect to see in their team now moving forward?
Toughness, aggressive style. I think it fits here. I think it's something that obviously Huggs is a Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer, 800 plus wins, and then Frank's great run this year, in rebuilding South Carolina and his past success at Kansas State, and we did it with an exciting way to play, and Huggs is pressing and getting after people, and we were aggressive and have been at SFA and at Oklahoma State, and I think that plays well in recruiting. I think it will really be a big benefit to us in this state with recruiting in terms of we were the number one offensive efficiency team at Oklahoma State last year, according to Ken Palm, and averaged 86 points a game. So we're going to be in attack mode on both ends. Really, that style was developed in working with those guys.
You know, it's interesting. you look at the scenario in terms of recruiting Chicago, and it's always looked at as such a must for the Illinois program whenever there's a new head coach. I've made the drive from Champaign to Chicago. It is not right down the street. Do you think it's a little overstated about how good Illinois has to be in Chicago? Because it's not like Maryland recruiting in D.C. or Baltimore. I don't think people understand how far campus is sometimes from Chicago.
Yeah, we're a couple hours, and you know, we're actually in all proximity, probably closer to Indianapolis than we are Chicago. You know, and then St. Louis is 2 hours as well. So, you know, we're kind of right in the middle of that that triangle. But you know, Chicago kids and Chicago has produced such great talent over the years, and then just the natural John, the affiliation between the state school and the players in that city is over time has been something that's been very well documented and talked about. And, you know, we've got to become an option for not just players in Chicago, but players in this state. And we've got to do a great job of evaluating. There's been a lot of good players that have gotten out of this state. And, you know, so we've got to work day to day to build those relationships. And we've got a $165 million renovation to State Farm Center that is special and passionate fans. And yet we know we can't take all of them. And we've got to take the ones that that we believe in that fit us, and getting that message out to high school coaches and to AAU coaches and programs is something that that we're striving for every day. But yeah, there's a tremendous I don't know what, I don't want saturation maybe between Chicago and the university, but we've got to do a great job of building those relationships and making U of I a destination for some of those guys.
It's funny you say the word destination, because several times you said that Illinois was always a destination job for you. You study this program, and there's been pockets of success. Final Four, obviously, in 89, Final Four in 2005, but it doesn't seem like there's been sustained success in men's basketball at the University of Illinois. Why do you think that is?
I think maybe a little bit, you know, it involves the players in the state. I think when Lou Henson was there, I think you're talking about a guy that had tremendous runs with Illinois players. I think when you look back at, you know, when Lon and Lon had a great run with the Peoria guys and Frank Williams and Sergio McLean and right on down the list, and Bill took over, and really kind of the only odd guy he had was Darren Williams from Texas. But, you know, they were Illinois guys, and those runs led to tremendous success. And Bruce was able to take that group of Bills and that he inherited and get it to the Final Four. So it was a it's been done with Illinois guys. And that's the one thing that I've really tried very, very hard to study and to be diligent about, making those relationships that when the university is very good, they've had their share of Illinois guys, and yet the landscape has changed today because of transfers, fifth year guys. We can't just be locked in here all the time. Sure, we've got to do our job, but whether it's Florida, D.C., New York, California, wherever, we have an attractive university that's a top-end academic institution. It's in the Big Ten, and it's in basketball country, and we're appealing to a lot of people in a lot of places.
Illinois coach Brad Underwood joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Brad, you like to score. You averaged a lot of points last year at Oklahoma State. Last season, Illinois scored 60 points or less 10 times, and that was with Malcolm Hill, who has since graduated. How difficult is it going to be to play the same way given the personnel that you're going to inherit?
That's a good question. You know, I think that I've never worried about replacing points. I think points, there's a lot of different ways to manufacture points and to get baskets. You know, we did it really in a way that at Oklahoma State that was not complicated. We tried to score under 7 seconds. We were fourth in the country in offensive rebound percentage. And then we shot free throws, and we shot a lot of them, and we shot them very well, mainly because we practiced them a great deal. I think those three areas were vital to us. The X's and O's part of it, we'll figure out as we go here and understand what our roster looks like and our strengths. We had 8 workouts in the spring with these guys. I really, really liked some of the pieces, and I do think there's more productivity there, than just Malcolm. And Malcolm had a great career, and yet I do think we can get more from some of the guys that are back. So, we're excited about the freshman coming in, and we're still looking to add a piece or two, but we're gonna play the same way and still figure out how to put that ball in the basket.
What were your biggest impressions? Who were your biggest standouts with the pieces that you inherited when you went through those workouts, Brad?
Big fan of Laron Black. He was tremendous. Jalen Coleman Lands was outstanding as well. I think he's a guy who can have a big jump. Laron is a guy that when he stayed out of foul trouble impacted the game a great deal. I'm a big fan of Mike Finke. I think Michael's he was not with us in the spring. It was in a boot due to a stress fracture, but he's 6'10". His numbers look impressive. He's a very, very good shooter. Tajon Lucas got a lot of minutes as a young guy at the point, and really hit some big shots. He's a gutsy, gritty, tough guy that I like, and I was impressed with him. And Kipper Nichols, a young man that transferred from Tulane, is versatile. He's got a great body. He's strong. So I think as we all of them did things that I really liked. We've just got to add some other pieces, and we're young. We won't have a senior unless we had a fifth-year senior. We won't have a senior on the roster. That doesn't concern me, John, maybe as much as the lack of minutes played by some of those guys. But they're going to have to step into new roles and grow up. And if we can do that, I like a lot of the pieces.
Well, you're also going to add 3 new pieces, obviously, in terms of your incoming freshmen. How significant of a role will all those 3 guys have next season, given the makeup and the structure of your team?
Big. They'll all be big. I think Trent's a guy that is a very gifted scorer. You can always use that. You can always find a place for scoring, or I can. Mark Smith is Mr. Basketball in Illinois. He's extremely gifted. He's extremely talented. He's high IQ. He makes players better. His impact, he has a chance to be outstanding. And I think he's one of the top freshmen in the country. I truly believe that. He's a grown man in terms of his body, and yet he's young. He's 17 years old, and he's 6'4", 220, and very, very athletic. DeMonte Williams is a young man that's we'll see. He's he ACL'd in November. He's coming back off that injury, but a young man that's athletic and much better athlete than his dad Frank was when he played here. But a guy that we'll see how he comes back off that knee, but a very talented player.
Brad, I know you haven't had your whole team together yet, but I'm going to close with this. Based on what you know about what you have coming in and coming back, what do you think is realistic expectations in terms of how competitive you can be out of the gate with your roster as currently assembled?
Gosh, that's an impossible question, John. And I'm terrible because I never go through a schedule and say, this one could be a win, this one could be a loss.
And you're in mid-May, though, for the Illinois fan base.
I know, but I just still don't do that. We're going to be good. We're going to be really good. I think I like our team. I like our toughness. I like our physicality. I think with the right couple of pieces here that we need to add late, I think we can be. I think we can have depth. That excites me, and not having any familiarity with the league. Other than what Michigan State has on paper coming back, you know, I think we're going to be right there. I think we'll be a team that should be an NCAA tournament team and a team that, as we know, you get in that thing, anything can happen.
Follow up on what you just said. If there was one thing that you'd like to add here in the spring recruiting period that you would feel more comfortable with at night if your head hit the pillow, what would it be?
Big. We need a big. We need a in a perfect world, I'd take a another front court guy and an additional wing score. And not necessarily fifth-year guys. That would help with one of them anyway. Just to add some experience and some age to our team, some minutes that have been played. I think that's important. And then more than likely probably leave a scholarship open as we really don't have a senior. So, we'll look to make some hay here in the next 2018 class from a recruiting standpoint. But couple guys, yeah, would be great.
Brad, appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. Good luck in the rest of the spring recruiting period, and I'm sure I'll see you down the line.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
We'd like to thank Illinois head coach Brad Underwood for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Once again, we're the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. They are currently offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audible.com/chday and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is an outstanding collection of exclusive originals, short stories, and comedy, plus the best of news, podcasts, and more, handpicked and continuously refreshed. You can even switch back and forth between reading and listening to the audiobook across many devices, including Amazon's Kindle and Echo, without ever losing your place or missing a word. So visit audible.com/chday to enjoy a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/chday. And now it's time for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. So send me your questions here on Twitter. And our first question is going to be from Roger. And it's, John, how is Missouri suddenly getting these top recruits that added two with Konzo Martin? Yeah, just as we were getting on the air today, Konzo Martin landed a commitment from Jeremiah Tillman, who was initially committed, ironically enough, to Illinois. He also has gotten Michael Porter Jr. So right now, Missouri coming in with two impact front court recruits for next season. Look, Konzo Martin has proven throughout his career he's been able to secure elite talent out of the prep circuits. Think back to Tennessee. He had Jarnell Stokes at Cal. He had Ivan Rabb and Jalen Brown. So this isn't a surprise to anybody who's followed Konzo Martin's career. Shows you, though, more and more again, and I know I've sounded this narrative in the SEC in the offseason, the bottom of this league is going to be better than it was last year. Missouri, a perfect example. Our next question comes from Jeffrey Craig. And it's, John, how much improvement do you see in year two of Jamie Dixon's tenure at TCU? Look, TCU, in my mind right now, is a fringe top 25 team, a team that brings everything back for the most part from a team last year that won the postseason NIT and was in the NCAA tournament discussion. Jamie Dixon, one of the more consistent coaches in college basketball, 11 NCAA tournaments in the last 13 years, and of course last 14 years, and last year won a postseason NIT championship. Our final question that we're going to take is going to be from Kosis Malone, and it's, John, what's your take on Brian Bowen? I think Oregon would be the most ideal fit for him. Oregon is definitely in the mix for Brian Bowen. I also think that Brian Bowen is going to wait and see what happens at Arizona with Rollie Hawkins, who again entered the NBA draft without an agent. If Rollie Hawkins were to go back to Arizona, I think that would hurt Arizona's chances with Brian Bowen. If he were to leave, I think it would definitely help their chances with Brian Bowen. Arizona also in the mix too for Pitt grad transfer Cam Johnson. Now that we've got you set with the social media stuff, let's go over some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, losing an Angel. There were reports last week that Seton Hall's Angel Delgado is unlikely to return to school next season. Delgado, in my opinion, was set to be the best big man in college basketball in 17-18. What does this mean for the Big East? Still, like I said a couple of weeks ago, it's Villanova and it's Xavier and then everybody else. The big key, though, for Xavier, getting Trayvon Blewett back for his senior season. Nugget number two, home away from home. How about this for a nugget? Villanova, Cincinnati, Houston, and Northwestern will all play their home games away from campus next season due to renovations. Villanova will play downtown in South Philadelphia. Cincinnati will play at Northern Kentucky University. Houston will play at the Toyota Center. And Northwestern will play at All-State Arena. That is going to be an interesting dynamic for those teams who, again, all hope to be in the postseason in the NCAA tournament. Nugget number three, fit for a king. With Donovan Mitchell's decision to go into the NBA draft with an agent this year, that means that VJ King, the sophomore from Louisville, is primed to be potentially one of the breakout players in the ACC next year. Last season, King had six games with over 20 minutes played. He averaged 13.3 points during those contests. Nugget number four, kudos to Middle Tennessee's Kermit Davis and Florida Gulf Coast Joe Dooley. These are two of the better mid-major programs in the country. Mid-majors always have a hard time getting games. These two schools will play each other twice next season, a home-and-home series in its entirety. Good for them for creating a storyline for two programs that have a hard time getting games. And then nugget number five, put May 24th on your calendar. That is the deadline day for underclassmen to withdraw from the 2017 NBA draft. So we've got about another 10 days of wait and see who's going to go where. And then after that, I will unveil my top 25 for next season. We'd like to thank Illinois head coach Brad Underwood for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, as well as the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.